Good afternoon, Muskegon, WVS 103.7 to be serving Muskegon and Muskegon Heights. It's time for Torn Into Your Show for news, information, and more. I'm your host, Gregory T. Roberts. Pastor Melvin Burns is taking the day off. Brother, have a great one. Listen, let's go into some housekeeping. If you are on the road, thank you guys so much for putting that on. Shows 2 to 3 every Friday. If you are on the road driving and would like to see this show in its entirety, you can go to WVS 103.7 to B or M106 Rock and Soul. And thank you guys. You guys are on it today. I love that. It's scrolling down at the bottom. Also, the show repeats itself, so you can see the show. Let's go to today's weather. Possibly you're going to get a high of 21. Excuse me. Low of 6. Tomorrow, a high of 25. Low of 3. Sunday, high of 26. Low of 18. Monday, returning snow, 30% chance. High of 35. Low of 25. Tuesday, high of 37. Low of 31. 80% chance of rain as we begin to warm up. Wednesday, high of 39, low of 33. Excuse me, 50% chance of rain. Thursday, high of 38, low of 31. And Friday, 39, high, low of 29. A couple things that I want to say before we get today's guest on. Please grab your phone, do like I'm doing right now. Go to WVS and share this to your page. Also, don't forget our YouTube page as well. Also, if you would like to sponsor and help this show go on, please call 231-727-5007, and you can be a part of the program. Now, with that said, a couple of announcements to the Roberts family. Keep your head up. I know we lost a loved one. She's in a better place, so. Roberts family, keep your head up. And anybody else out there that have family, living, appreciate them and get over those battles that you had in the past, because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Also, if you're watching and listening, do me a favor, because we know some of you where you are from. If you're from Ohio, Atlanta, Houston, get that shout out so we can get it out on air. Lastly, if there's a topic that you are interested in seeing or hearing, you can contact us again, 231-727-5007. All right, today, in politics, we go local. Oh, one more announcement, sorry. The weather has been killing area businesses. I know it's cold. You don't have to go nowhere. Stay home. If you use gas pumps, put the sand, you know, something to clean your hands, because there's a virus going and we don't want you sick, okay? But businesses have been devastated because of the weather. Support local, okay? Support local. And also support your local radio station, because we're the only one bringing you news and information. Now, with that said, our guest is new. She decided to run for office, and I am so happy that this is her first time on the show. Please put your hands together for Destiny Keener Sargent. How are you doing?
I'm so good, Mr. Roberts. How are you?
Good. I didn't get a chance to do it like I normally do it. Put your hands together. So we pass the plate for our sister. How are you doing today?
I'm really good. Thank you.
Good. Tell us and tell Muskegon County and tell the world a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a true Muskegonite. I am born and bred. I am a Heights Tiger, gold, orange, and black. Graduated there in 1998. feel. I'm saying that. But graduated in 1998. Grew up in what we call the Valley, right around the block from Holy Trinity. Majority mm-hmm. of my life, I now still live there. I moved back into the house that I grew up in after living in the Heights for quite a while. But pretty much I grew up in the Urban League office. My grandmother is Darlene Townsend, and she was over the youth employment program. And mm-hmm. so as a small child, I had the opportunity and the luxury, I really call it the luxury, to be around so many great and brilliant minds who just gave so much of themselves to serve this community. And my grandmother, it seems like everywhere I go, somebody knows Darlene, because I mean, everyone says, she gave me my first job, and I just love your grandmother. But my grandmother actually raised me from a very, very small child. And if I have, if any hero was to be had, she is my hero. My great-grandmother is Mabel Peterson. May she rest in her glorious peace. Amen. And so I had the opportunity to actually grow up right under Miss Patterson, because my grandmother stayed at 2128 Hoyt Street. And so Miss Patterson helped raise us too. So she is like very much missed in this community, because she was just simply a jewel as well. As well, my grandmother, she was a foster parent. And between my grandmother and my great grandmother, they fostered well over 200 children, adopted children as well.
Wow.
And so I had the great advantage of seeing life from a servitude's position, and just understanding what it meant to be part of the community and work in the community and ensure that you are taking care of your community and you're taking care of one another. So much of where I'm going and am at today is because of Darlene Townsend, Mabel Peterson, and Elizabeth McLemore. They genuinely made me who I was. I actually was Bishop Wells's administrative assistant for about 12, 13 years of my life.
Right.
Three generations of my family was his assistant, mm-hmm. from my aunt to my grandmother as well. And so that's pretty much my childhood. I went on to school. I have my bachelor's in human services, and went from there to get my master's in public administration with an emphasis on nonprofit. Okay. And so throughout my work history, I've had opportunity to lead and direct in a number of beautiful, beautiful, brilliant positions for nonprofits throughout this community who do so much. My first position as an executive director was at Family Promise, and I actually didn't even have an office when we first started. I was working out my car, and we had 8 churches. And if you don't know about Family Promise, they house intact, and what intact means for anybody that doesn't know, families that have like a mom, a dad, and children, so that they are not split apart. Okay. And that's a huge thing when it comes to shelters. If your son is over 13, then he can't be with you in women's shelter, and your husband can't be with you. And so it makes life just a little bit easier when it's already so harsh, when you have that opportunity to work through something so difficult together. Mm-hmm. And so I directed there. Thoroughly loved it. We started off with like 8 churches, maybe like 400 volunteers. By the time I left, we had over 32 churches and nice. Well over 3,000 volunteers. So my opportunities to serve there are always near and dear to my heart. But then I got married and we had a baby, and I couldn't do the 90 hours a week anymore. So I went from there to senior resources. And fell in love with another population of people, probably one of my favorite, senior citizens. Mm-hmm. And I was a case manager there. and had the opportunity to help seniors who pretty much were sliding through the cracks. Like, they did not make enough money to get on certain programs, or they made too much money to get on certain Medicare programs, but still did not have enough to meet, like, everyday just everyday needed items, like anything from like toothpaste to toothbrushes, because their money as senior citizens all goes to pills, bills, and meals. That's pretty much it. And sometimes we don't understand that.
You better say that again.
Pills, bills, and meals. That's where a lot of senior citizens' money go to. And you might think grandma got some money, but trust and believe that Social Security does not go very far. Especially when they're renting and things like that. And so I was able to have the opportunity to help those individuals that were falling through the cracks, and thoroughly loved and appreciated that job and the opportunities that it gave me. I went from there to Kids Food Basket, and we'll just leave that at that. Mm-hmm. But went there to Kids Food Basket, and from there, out of necessity, God birthed Country Cooking with me and my husband. And I just remember one day we were sitting on the bed after I lost my job. He was battling having his felony expunged because he wanted more. He wanted to do more for himself. And that felony kept being a hindrance for him. And I just remember one day we sat on the bed and we just cried out. We just cried. And I told God, I said, Lord, if you will take the wheel and allow me to learn from every mistake I had made, then I will follow you and I will trust you. And from that point forward, God has been, God be God. That's all I can say, God be God. Yeah. And so he gave us the opportunity in Country Cooking. I never would have imagined the things that we've done and been able to see, the people we've been able to serve, we never talk about what we give. I just feel like that's, you don't let your right hand know what your left hand doing, but just the opportunity that he has stewarded us with his resources to be able to give back out to the community. And it's just so awesome that he trusts us like that. And so So we've been doing Country Cooking since 2016, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. And we are now an established catering business, and we have a bunch of goals that we are looking forward to tackle this year with the business. And then last year, I decided to run for commission.
And so let's we got so much. You have a rich history. Townsend worked with my dad, Gene Roberts, and your education is extensive. Your work experience is just amazing. You take all of that and you run a business, which catering is our forte. But you take all that, but what made you all of a sudden decide that you needed to get involved in running politics? Well, and before you say that, I'm happy that you did, because we need new blood.
Thank you. Well, for me, I had been part of the Planning and Zoning Commission for about 18, almost 2 years. And so I had started gaining some understanding of it. I've never been an economics kind of person, a civics kind of person. I mean, never. Civics was just not my thing. I did not understand legislative and executive. It just was totally not my thing growing up. But I just started seeing how the world is just really starting to shift and change in a not so good way. Working with the individuals, the families, the seniors that I've worked with, I continued to see that they needed more representation. They needed somebody to advocate for them. And also being part of my neighborhood, a association, we needed somebody to advocate for us because our community was feeling like we were not fitting in with the city of Muskegon. Mm-hmm. And so I was asked to be on the planning and zoning and did that. And I started really understanding how city works. So I was able to like take my mind off of government on a bigger level, because we always think that, I think my rationale with why people don't get out and vote is because they don't feel like their vote matters. And so on a national, I had to get my mind off of a national standpoint and think about where my vote truly matters and is considered and where my change happens. And it happens right in front of you. And so sitting in these planning and zoning committees, we would have people come in frustrated and angry, and you have to listen to them and you understand their plight and what they're going through. But we couldn't do anything because it was the wrong committee to come with your burden with. So, so we listened to you. And I said, you know, it's a disconnect here with how people are understanding city government.
Right.
People are not understanding what these boards and committees are for. I do like statistics and numbers. And so I would look at the numbers of voting, like when I would go to the precinct and it'd be like 6:30 at night and I'll be like voter number 40. And I'm like, how am I voter number 40 at 6:30, 7 o'clock at night?
Who are you telling, sister?
I said, this is crazy. What is going on here? But being part of Planning and Zoning, I started understanding that we don't quite understand how important it is for us to be present in our community, on these boards, people, especially people of color, especially minority women and minority men who have backgrounds in, you know, but have improved their lives, because you are that voice. You've had experience and you've seen what works for you. Right. And I started understanding that you can't complain about your judge and you didn't go vote when it was time to vote your judge in. You can't.
Hold on. You're breaking up too much knowledge. Say it again. Like James Brown, back it up. Say it again.
Literally, you cannot complain about, you can't complain about your judge. You can't complain about what the school is and is not doing, things that are not in the school systems when you don't go and vote for your boards. You don't vote for, you just complain and put no effort into making a change. And so I started realizing that huge disconnect of how we think. And even when it comes to, and these are things I've been talking to our city officials as well, our the people who we employ with our tax dollars, and because they work so, they really do work really hard to make Muskegon as best as Muskegon can be. But I was telling them, I said, it's really because it has to be where a first grader can understand it. And because we have a huge community full of people who are illiterate, who are like me, have no enjoyment in civics or politics. They just don't understand. And when you go and you are looking at a millage, for example, and you have these huge words that are basically foreign, look like they're in Greek, and people don't know what to do with that. If to vote yes, if to vote no. And so we have to really break it down so that everyone is participating in their community and making their community grow. And so that was really the biggest part of me wanting to be in office, is so that I could help maneuver people through that. And also so I could be a true voice for citizens in this community. I have nothing to gain from this, but being a voice for those who feel like they are not heard.
Well, a lot of people don't know, and thank you for serving on the Planning Commission. I did as well, that there are boards that are need positions, like you said.
Yes.
That like the Planning Commission, the Zoning Commission, just Civil Service Commission. I mean, there's so many commissions that we can serve on to get that insight of how city, and that's what I did, and took me to my career as a firefighter. But I want to talk to you a little bit about, so you had a chance to get that knowledge on that Planning Commission, but you said that you needed to do more because there were people falling through the cracks, for one. But what are some of the other reasons why you wanted to be on that city commission?
I feel like, from a personal standpoint, that I was not included in the city. And I felt like the slogan, "Watch us go," like I was watching other people go, but I was not watching people who look like me, people who come from the hoods I've grown up in, the communities I've grown up in. I felt like we were not part of that going. Mm-hmm. I felt like our businesses, we don't get a chance to really thrive as entrepreneurs even. Mm-hmm. And I felt like the focus was on certain areas of the community that were, how do you put it, more for like touristic value. Mm-hmm. Additionally, my son, he loves to fish. My husband is from Arkansas, so he's a true hunter and gatherer, and my boys take after him. But my baby, he likes to fish, and he came home from being with his grandmother down south, and it was before he left, it was not as much construction on the lakeshore, and he enjoys fishing with the senior citizens that live up in the towers over there that would come on down and fish to fill their freezers for the winter, you know, to supplement income. Mm-hmm. And my baby, he said, "Mom," well, he's with his days of dad, "I'm not going to be able to see my friends no more. I'm not going to be able to fish with them no more. Why are they building up? Why are they taking away the fishing from us?" Mm-hmm. And so he was a reason why I ran too, because I have to be a voice for him. Mm-hmm. And I felt like we were not having access to just certain areas, and we were not being included in the conversation about mm-hmm. how we would like to see Muskegon go. It was like every time you look up, it's something going on, but so many people are communicating that they didn't feel like they were part of the process. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted all of us to be part of the process and figure out how we can be part of that process. And I felt like by me running, I can get a better understanding of how we can all participate and how everyone can feel included in the process. So mm-hmm. if nothing more, then I can express and explain what's going on for people who are frustrated and don't understand why things operate like they operate, and why it's budget for this and budget for that, but not budget mm-hmm. for this or not budget for that, so that I can be that communication, that middle ground.
Well, let's go deeper in that, because the thing is that we do, you know, political shows, we do get out the vote information and all that kind of stuff. And every year, and this is a huge election year, we tell people, the people that vote, that's where the attention is paid for. And as you know, it's the West Side. Yep. And I keep trying to tell people, if you don't vote, if you're a precinct and it's 6:30 and it's only 40 people that voted, they're not going to pay so much attention to you. Agree or disagree?
I very, very much agree. I very much agree. And I've watched it. You can look at the poll results. They advertise the poll results, what precincts have had whatever number of voters. And this past November, the amount of people from Lakeside that came out and voted compared to East Muskegon or even like the Nelson neighborhoods, it was an astronomical difference in the amount mm-hmm. of people. Even on sitting on the Planning and Zoning commission, the amount of people that come out when they don't like something in the Lakeside area, I will tell you, the room will be filled to the brim with your regular neighbors that want to, that know they pay their tax dollars, and they want to voice something that they don't like. And so it's just a bit disconnect, and we have to understand, like you said, that more attention will get paid to the people that come out and vote, because they're going to push. They will call. I get so many emails. I get, because a portion of my ward is by the Lakeside area, and I get so many emails since becoming a commissioner and voicing their concerns, just All right. voicing their concerns. Right. And so, and it's because they know what they want. They know what they deserve as a citizen here. And they really do. They will say first, I get out and vote.
Right. I live in one of the highest. I live in 14. And we vote out here. Mm-hmm. And we made things known when we don't like it or like it. But if you look at the attention to like streets and sewer, the big project that's getting ready to happen for the whole city, guess where they started? On the west side.
On the west side.
Well, and so anyway, let's go more into that. So you felt the disconnect, okay? Mm-hmm. What are some of the projects that you feel that, like you said, we've had people talk about the access to getting to the lake, because you see more and more buildings. Now we hear, now people say, oh no, there's still access to the lake. I just don't see it that much. That's just me personally. But what are some other projects that you feel that need to happen in the city of Muskegon, in your priority list?
For sure, true low-income housing, for sure.
Absolutely.
Because for many people, $1,400 is very expensive for rent. And everyone does not want to own a home. You do have people that enjoy being able to, they enjoy renting. But I've been really working on the numbers on like affordability, so I can present it when we talk about it, because it's actually, that's something that we've been talking about quite a bit, and mm-hmm. It's part of one of the goals for the city plan, in which you can always look out at the new plan that's there. And that was, I will say, citizens were able to be involved in that, and it's pretty much, the plan is based off of the desires of our community. But true affordable housing, it's a big one for me. We just have
before you go to that, the second, how important is it that we change the numbers? For instance, instead of when they decided to look at the income, they took the whole county of Muskegon instead of looking at the numbers just in the city of Muskegon, which made purchasing a house or renting through city projects or programs much higher than there should be if they would have just took the numbers from Muskegon.
And that's true, because they generally do a state and a national average of what a median income is. And but every single community is unique. It's like Muskegon Heights is unique compared mm-hmm. to Muskegon. Mm-hmm. Mona Shores is unique compared to Muskegon. Reese Puffer is unique compared to Muskegon. And so we really have to look at where we are, and not a national average, not even a statewide average, where we are falling in the gap at. I know one of the issues that is going on with housing, because I had to have this explained to me, and this is the best way I'm able to explain it back out. Mm-hmm. That's one of my biggest frustrations, is I keep seeing these huge houses come up And it's so many people that are living right in the woods in the back of my house. You know, we live right off by the wood area and by the Holy Trinity area. Mm-hmm. And there are people living in tents out in the woods in weather like this, mm-hmm. like literally weather like this. And I get really frustrated with that. I continue to get frustrated because I will continue to see we have all these developments, these developers coming in, building these huge communities with these houses that are, it doesn't feel like it's meant for the average citizen here. Mm-hmm. But what has gone on is because of the inflation of everything around here, we have so many people that are now moving here and commuting to their jobs in Grand Rapids, mm-hmm. Because it's less expensive to stay here. But what's happening is the houses that were like $800, the rent has went up to $1,200, and those people that are working those hospital jobs or whatever in Grand Rapids, commuting back and forth, they can afford the $1,200. And so it's like they keep, the best way to say it is that people that actually have the income to be able to afford the bigger houses, they're buying what's available. Just as soon as it's on the market, they're buying it because right. it's available. And so the individual who would have been able to probably afford like that $800 is they now have nowhere to even be able, that's reasonable for them to be able to live at. So by building these houses now, you do have people that can afford them, that can go into those houses. So it will leave that gap back open to where the average family of four or whatever may be able to have house again that they can rent. But still, yet and still with all of that, I truly believe that there is something that we can do as a community, even if it's working with existing nonprofits to, mm-hmm. and this is something we just were discussing on yesterday, trying to figure out ways to take some of these blighted buildings even and make them so that they are transitional housing at least, but something mm-hmm. to where people can truly afford a decent home. Because that's one of the pillars of life in having a secure life. You have to have love, you have to have shelter, and you have to have food.
Right, and that you said $1,200, and if you're able to, even able to find one at $1,200,
yeah.
you're
yeah.
lucky.
Yes.
It's $1,600 to $1,800 to find something, anything kind of decent around here.
Yes, and even that's like decent, and then you the average income for a family, especially a single mom with a kid or two, is about $3,000 a month. So that's half your money that you mm-hmm. earn just mm-hmm. gone and just rent, and you still got so many other things to take care of. And so mm-hmm. we have to look at the bigger picture here and like really figure out how to, and I think this is going to take the community as a whole, not just the planning and zoning, not just the city employees, the citizens, to figure out innovative ways to ensure that everybody has a decent quality of life.
Mm-hmm. So we talked about the lake, we talked about housing. What would be the next thing?
The next thing I would say would something with our arena downtown. I would like to really see our arena have more things go into it other than just hockey. And I think that people would appreciate having the Disney on Ice here or the monster trucks here and not have to always go over to Grand Rapids. Mm-hmm. And plus it generates revenue for all of our small businesses downtown as well and throughout the entire community. So I really would like to see more done with the arena. And I think that we're all, majority of us, we're pretty much everybody on the commission is in agreement with that as well.
Because mm-hmm. we look at, we have soccer, we have football, and we have hockey at the arena.
Yeah.
And yeah. that's, I mean.
Oh, we don't even have football anymore at the arena. So.
Oh, we don't have football anymore?
No, the football is not at the arena right now.
Oh, man. So we lost that. So the arena, we need more And we get that convention center that we just spent all that money on.
Yeah.
So it has to be that more things are happening, especially that represents us happening downtown.
Yes, yes, yes. So okay. That's another big one, and for us as well. And I would really like to see, and I know the city is diligently working on this, but a true makeup within jobs that down there that is a true makeup of the city of Muskegon. Mm-hmm. All colors, more color.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see that. I will say that the commission, this is probably one of the, I love seeing the variety of the commission. This is actually, in history, we have never had this many women on the commission.
First time
in history, and it's the first time we've had this many people of color on the commission.
It's more diverse than ever.
Yeah.
Talk about that, the importance of having that diversity on the commission for the first time.
Well, you have to have a true makeup of what your community, you have to be a reflection when it comes to, because our job is really to ensure that voices are being heard, that we're overseeing the budget and funding is being spent appropriately and is benefiting the citizens in Muskegon. And if the reflection is not that of the city makeup, then you will have individuals who have no idea what it's like to live or have ever lived in poverty. So you have no idea of the true needs of individuals that have been in poverty. You have no idea of how an African-American feels in the community if it's not reflective and a voice is not spoken. Mm-hmm. And so having that diversity, it allows for a true visual and a true voice of what our community consists of. And so that all colors, all creeds, all nationalities are being heard and being seen.
Nice. Okay. Third, let me go back to this. When you go downtown and you don't see businesses that reflect all people, what is the key to changing that?
Well, we did that. I will say, when we were in Rackets, we were the first business down there that truly reflected diversity in our community. It was everyone's cheers. It didn't matter if you were rich, if you were poor, if you were part of the LGBTQ+ community, if you were straight, everybody could come to Rackets with Country Cooking on Tap and have a good time. Mm-hmm. And so it made it like this melting pot. And I love New York because it's like this huge melting pot of flavors and styles. And you get to learn from each other when it's diverse. When it's not diverse, you feel like you're not included. And I think that's pretty much any and everywhere you go. If I think Dr. Joy DeGruy, she put it best. You can invite me to the table all you want to, or invite me to the party, but asking me to dance, that's the key.
Mm. That's good.
And so, and when it's diverse, you're actually asking people to dance. You're not just inviting them to the party, you're asking them to dance.
Nice. So we're getting more people, as you said, we're getting more people downtown. But there are other parts of the city that, like I said, we said the west side is the best side, but that's not Muskegon, like you said, is a conglomerate. It's a melting pot. Two questions. Mm-hmm. How frustrating is it when you see when this country is trying to take away that diversity? And then two, I know I just saw the look in your face. And two, how important is it to embrace what we are?
Take a deep breath. I hate the consistency of creating divide, because that's not God. That's not how God ordered things to be. And it's very intentional. It's continually intentional. And I don't know if it's intentional because people know that there are certain creeds and colors that possess certain innate abilities. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't understand the fear, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to the divide of Black and white. Black people are naturally caring people. That's just how we're structured. It's like we cannot help it. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that in the amount of times where we've been all the way up here and we stop our agenda to help somebody else's agenda.
Wow.
And then we fall all the way back down to the ground, mm-hmm. and have to restart. And it's so important to be accepting of one another, because we are all, or should be, ever learning. And there are things that we can learn from each other. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we would talk about like white fragility and how white people, I did this and I did that for Black people. But did you understand Black people? Did you take the time to really understand? Because you wouldn't say, I did this and I did that, and pat yourself on the back if you took time to really understand our plight, understand why there are so many people so angry, understand why our children are so fearful of certain, you know, certain creeds and colors. Mm-hmm. But we have to learn to be able to come together, because for one, if we are divided the way that this world is going right now, we can be easily conquered. And mm-hmm. I think that is part of it too, is to keep us divided so that our eyes are blinded mm-hmm. by what's to come. And so when it comes to that point that where we need to be working together now and progressing together now, if we didn't need it before, we definitely need to do it now, and mm-hmm. open our eyes and understand that we need each other. Literally, as the song says, we need each other to survive. Right. That's just the point that we're at.
I want to talk to you about, I want to go and bring this question to you, because your rich background and the people that you work with. How frustrating is it that this year they're starting to say that African Americans are actually going to stay home and not vote? Take another breath. Because it frustrates the crap out of me.
Don't sit home. And don't. People are literally expecting us to do that. And when there's an expectation, no, it's not for your own good. Mm. And like I said, your voting is what allows for our commission to look like it looks right now.
Right.
It allows for great leadership. It allows for changes in our housing aspects, the culture and climate of our community, the businesses that come in, entrepreneurship, dollars that come in to support, the homeless. Mm-hmm. That vote matters. It matters for your children's education. It matters for how your streets look. It matters for how your taxes roll. your water bill, maintenance on it, parks in your community, safety. It matters. Your vote truly matters.
All right, we got to go to the board. The board is starting to light up. First off, Corey Briggs says, I'm loving the conversation. And Connie Nesbury, people/media only say that if they want you to think that others aren't voting, so you won't too. It's very important that everyone votes. Thank you, Connie.
I agree with Connie. It's that media is, that's a tough influencer. It's a really tough influencer, and people in, I've been reading a lot of like the government documents that have been coming out now, that are public now. And they are really trying to create a narrative for not your good, for whomever those higher powers, that 1% power, mm-hmm. is they're trying to create a narrative for them. Well, they're creating a narrative so that they can win. And we won't win. And we have all the power.
Let's go back to the board. Corey says, he also agrees. Now, I want to talk to you. It's 2:48 and the show is flying.
Yeah.
And we're going to have you back on the show. But all is not bad. I mean, there is a lot of situations that have to be dealt with. But things have changed in Muskegon, especially the reflection of how the commission even looks. There are some great things happening in Muskegon. Talk about some of those things.
Oh my goodness. From the Parks and Recreation, the things that they are doing now, we are in talks about creating, you may have saw, because it wasn't supposed to hit the news like it hit the news last week, but it did. We are in talks of formulating a plan to create a river walk like in Detroit, that goes along the entire shore. We have two huge developments that have begun on the Sappy property and down off of downtown, the Adelaide Points, that are going to employ so many people.
Mm-hmm.
We have additional new staff that have come on board to help entrepreneurs with building business and locating spaces for business.
Mm-hmm.
We have a really great city plan that residents and our previous city commission and staff at the city have put together a beautiful plan that you can see online. And we're just really thriving to be innovative. We are working on our just air quality and doing our part for the environment. They're doing some great things at the lake, like working on getting like towers down there for phone services. I could probably go on and on, but every time I go into that building, I'm learning something new every single time.
And speaking of learning something new, one of the things that I've been talking to the mayor or talking to Willie German, we've talked to the vice mayor, is that the transparency has really changed for the good.
Yes.
With the city.
I can totally agree. Just even talking to our city manager, our city manager. He's been in for about a year now, Jonathan. And when I tell you, he is one of the most transparent guys ever. And the city is so willing to help and answer questions. Everyone is willing to help. Well, pretty much stop what they're doing on their job. If you walk in the door with a question, they're there to help you. As far as city programming, there is so much going on with city programming, so many grants that they're doing for whether it's still got the roofing, your steps, They have the, they still are doing the gift card for your yard for, I think it's $500 for you to to get your yard beautified. They give you a $500 gift card. So it's just so many great things that they're doing. The transparency, the willingness to be present is, I absolutely love it.
How important is it that if you, you talk about city manager Jonathan, if you talk about public service director Tim, city clerk, and I mean, you name department after department after department, and their doors are open for you to come down there for them to ask any question.
I mean, any question, literally any question, they are available. You can even go up to the planning and the city planning. Sharonda is working there, and she's a woman of color, and she has a lead role up there. And she's a young woman. I love to see that, because Sharonda, I think Sharonda's like maybe 30, in her early 30s. And beautiful, magnificent mind. And we had like even seeing Jocelyn there and Contessa there. That is a breath of fresh air to see so many young Black women in positions like that, helping our community, readily available to help our community. So yeah, stop down. And no question is an ignorant question, I promise you.
And, you know, me being a kid that needed leisure services, going park to park to get a meal. I mean, that was the way that we survived at, you know, those teenage years. I think that was so important that you realized that that department had to be reopened and you guys had to get back dirty and get back into the streets.
Oh, yes. This is the first year that Parks and Recreation has their own budget, which is super phenomenal because they have so many things that they're willing to do. Like, for instance, I had someone, a senior citizen, email me about her alley being plowed. And I didn't notice until yesterday. If you're on dialysis, you can call DPW and they'll put you on the list to ensure that what the days that you have dialysis, they'll make sure you plowed out.
Please say that again, because people need to hear that.
Yeah, you can literally, as a citizen, call DPW if you're on dialysis and it's for wintertime, and so you can let them know what your days off so they can make sure that you're on the schedule to ensure, because we want to make sure that you're able to get out and get to your dialysis. It's just those small things, you know, things I never knew. And like I said, I'm learning new things all the time. They are available. Take our police department. When they come out and see you, they now assess you to see if you need mental health services. Because mental health agent worker comes right out so you may not have to go to jail, or they not putting you in the holding tank. And because you have something going on in your mind that you need help with. So it's just these little small things that we don't know about. And I encourage people, come down and ask questions, because that is one of the key things, the key focuses on the entire, us as the commission, our mayor, all of the staff, the leadership. We are really wanting for there to be transparency and want to be able to answer whatever questions. And if I don't know it, I best believe I'm gonna find out. And the communication is just so wonderful. I just really enjoy being able to serve in this capacity at this time.
We got to go back to the board. Corey B. Briggs Sr. says that's wonderful to have mental health specialists with the police. How important, even the thinking and the public safety, that normally when you see police and fire, it's on your worst day. No, they've changed the mentality that we're going to get out and we're going to be out in the neighborhoods, that you see us, that you get to know us. And we're also going to make sure that the city is represented by you, and you can be a firefighter or a police officer.
And I am telling you, Chief, he wants for our fire department and for our police force to be a reflection of this community. There are open positions available for both. And he's having such a difficulty getting people of color in. And mind you, they are allowing you to work while going to school. They're paying for your policing academy. So they're really throwing out some incentives out there for individuals who desire to be on either one of those, in either one of those types of positions. But it is so refreshing and encouraging to see our officers get back out there. And they really do need more officers, because a lot of these officers are now having to work. We used to have like a neighborhood officer for every neighborhood. And a lot of these, because we don't really have enough officers on the force right now, it's a lot of these officers that are having to double up for neighborhood officers. And so please be patient with them right now. And if you love this community and you want to serve this community, go apply. Go apply for a position. Seriously, go apply.
I think that that's important, because that's how I got my opportunity. I mean, I was able to come into the fire department with no experience, no schooling, and they trained me and took care of everything. And I was able to obtain that, you know, because every boy wants to be a firefighter, police officer. And I remember as a child walking through that fire department and saying, that's what I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And you can attain that right now, because they have job openings. Listen, it's 2:58. We only have 2 minutes. What's the last thing that you want to say to Muskegon in any capacity?
Get on these boards as they become this. Most of the terms are 2 years, 2 and 4 years. Get on these boards. You can find that on the city website. Apply for them. Start going through now, because we're actually getting ready to, I think they may have just closed it out. I can't remember if it was this Monday or if it's next Monday. So you might still have time to get on. But go check out those board openings. There's quite a few committee and board positions available. And that's one of the first steps to take. Make sure you are getting out there and voting. If you don't really too much care about who the president is, make sure you're getting out there and voting local. I mean, at every local election, make sure that you're getting out there. And if you don't understand who's on the ballot, what's on the ballot, give a call on down to the city. Stop on down there so you can get better explanation of it. Because like I said, if I don't know it, I don't claim to know it all, but I will make sure I find it out for you too. My door is always open, just like the city of Muskegon. Pretty much everyone there welcome you with open arms. But please, please, please ensure that you vote, because your vote is what changes this community and supports this community and allows this community to thrive.
Very well said. And listen to this radio station, watch this radio station, because we always are going to have political shows that tear you to shoot. With that said, Destiny Keenan, Sergeant, we're going to have you on again. I'm going to come down and get something to food, get something to eat. And listen, thank you so much. Listen, that's the show for this night. Remember, go out and sow a seed, like I say, every show into somebody's life, because you may think that they're doing well and they're not. So go sow a seed, make a phone call to somebody that you haven't heard from. Commissioner, thank you. Welcome to the commission. And Muskegon, we'll see you next week on Thorn N2. Take care and God bless.
Thank you.